Okay, welcome everyone to the second year of this opportunity to learn together in the Young Israel of Woodmere during the summers. Last summer we discussed different halacha sugyas in yanim from the parsha, every week a different fancy topic. This year I was hoping we would discuss a more steady theme, just talk about the halachos of tzedakah, which are halachos which are very applicable to anyone who has money. And we would spend the summer sort of going through the different ways that you're supposed to give tzedakah, ways maybe you're not supposed to give tzedakah, times you're supposed to give, times you're not supposed to give, different areas of halacha within the realm of this important mitzvah, tzedakah, giving charity. Tonight, as you could probably tell from the title, we will focus mostly on the rewards of the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, the schar, the inherent benefit which one receives for performing this mitzvah. Just as a note of introduction, there was a character in Jewish history called Rabbi Yitzchak Sagi Nahar, which means Rabbi Yitzchak the Blind, in a nice way. He was Rabbi Yitzchak the son of the Ravid. He was a mekubal. So he had an interesting comment, which Rabbi Isaac Rice, who gives the shir here in the morning, quoted just the other day. He has an interesting comment in the following Maimer Chazal. Chazal say, Kol HaZahir B'mitzvos Neros Chanukah, if you want mekoros, you're just walking in, so there's some on the bima in the middle of the room. Kol HaZahir B'mitzvos Neros Chanukah, anyone who is careful to keep the mitzvah of lighting Neros Chanukah, so then he will be zochet to have banim talmidei chachamim. He will be zochet that his children will be righteous talmidei chachamim. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Sagi Nahar, you look around the world, I see a lot of people who are very careful about the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, a lot of people lighting menorah and Chanukah, and a very small percentage of the Jewish community are big talmidei chachamim. So what happened to all that schar that the Torah promises? What happened to the schar Chazal told us that if you're careful about Neros Chanukah, you're going to have banim talmidei chachamim? So Rabbi Yitzchak Sagi Nahar says something which, after he says it, it seems very very obvious, very intuitive. Rabbi Yitzchak says that a person only gets the schar that Chazal promised him if he's zahir b'mitzvos. If he's careful about this particular mitzvah, then heavy lo banim talmidei chachamim. If he does the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, but he doesn't lackadaisical go away, he doesn't do it so mehudar, if anyone wants makoros in the back, there's some on the bima. He doesn't do it in such a mehudar fashion, he doesn't have the best oil, doesn't have it light for the longest. If he doesn't do it in the most lichatchila way, so he's not going to deserve the great reward, the great schar, the great benefit of banim talmidei chachamim. But if a person focuses all his energies, he learns the halachos, he spends time being mekayim the mitzvah in the most proper way possible, in a lichatchila fashion, so then taka he will be zocha to have banim talmidei chachamim. And the truth is that it's mistaber, it's logical, it's intuitive that this klal should apply to every mitzvah in the Torah. Whenever the Torah tells us kibud avim, and you'll have an arichas yamim. Any other mitzvah that the Torah tells you that you're going to get reward for it, so it's 100% true that you're going to get rewarded. But it's not true that you're going to be rewarded if you do it in a bidyevet, lackadaisical way. No, a person has to try to fulfill the mitzvah in the best form, in the most lichatchila way, and if he does so, he will deserve that reward. Tonight we'll focus mostly on that reward, that schar that's promised to us for the mitzvah tzedakah, with which we're all probably familiar already. And the rest of the series, hopefully this summer, the next 5-6 weeks, hopefully we'll be able to discuss, after discussing tonight the reward and the schar, we'll discuss those details, those ways. There are some, of course, on the bima in the middle. But we'll discuss those ways, those details in which we can perform this mitzvah in the most lichatchila fashion, in the best manner, in order to be deserving of these rewards and these benefits. So let's start tonight with the psukim. Generally, when we begin a shir here in the shul, so we generally talk about a certain halacha, and we start by saying, is this a mitzvah d'araisa? Is it a mitzvah d'rabanan? Is it something in between? What is it? So here, there's no questions asked, right? Everyone knows mitzvah tzedakah, the mitzvah of charity, that's in the Torah somewhere. That's a mitzvah d'araisa. So instead of asking that question, we'll start by discussing where in the Torah it is, and we'll also start by discussing, well, how many mitzvahs is it? Is it one mitzvah? Is it two? Is it seven? Is it a los essay? Is it an essay? What kind of mitzvah are we dealing with when we talk about charity? So if you look here in source number one, there are actually two places in the Torah where the mitzvah tzedakah is discussed. Here on the sheet we have Parshas Re'eh, these psukim, but elsewhere in Parshas Bahar there's a pasuk or two that also discuss the mitzvah tzedakah. We'll heavily focus tonight on source number one, Parshas Re'eh, but maybe eventually throughout the summer we'll get to Parshas Bahar as well. The psukim in Re'eh say, Ki yevecha evyon me'achad achecha ba'achad she'arecha ba'artzecha asher Hashem lekecha no sein lach. If there's a poor person, a destitute individual in your land, lo se'amit es levavcha, don't harden your heart against him, velo sikpots es yadcha, don't close your hand towards him, me'achicha ha'evyon. Instead, ki pasolach tiftach es yadcha lo, open your hand, give him, extend to him, give him charity, help him, give him tzedakah. And the psukim go on to reinforce this rule, this law, this mitzvah of giving tzedakah. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, in Mitzvah's essay, Kuf Tzadi Hei, that's the second source in the sheet. He quotes this mitzvah d'oraisa of giving tzedakah, a positive commandment, a mitzvah essay min haTorah to give tzedakah. And then the Rambam says, if you look at the three underlined parts, he quotes psukim. He quotes one pasuk from our psukim before, Pasoach Tiftach Es Yadecha. Then he quotes from Bahar, Ve'achzakta Bo Ger V'Soshav. And then he says, V'chei Achichei Mach. Three psukim. There's more psukim, but he quotes three. The Rambam in his halachos, Matanos Aniyim, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, the very beginning of the seventh Perek, as well as the Sefer Achinach in Mitzvah Taf Ayin Tes, where he quotes the Mitzvah of Tzedakah, they also quote this mitzvah, this positive commandment, and then proceed to list these various psukim which are involved with this mitzvah. The question that begs itself is, well, if there's so many psukim, three here in the Rambam, more here in the psukim in source number one, so then how many mitzvahs should it really be? Should it be one mitzvah? Maybe it should be Pasoach Tiftach, Noson Titein. What else do we have here? Again, Pasoach Tiftach, later in the Pasuk, there's three mitzvahs already, or maybe two mitzvahs. That should be more than one mitzvah. It's repeated so many times. So why is it only counted once? And in fact, if you look in source number two on the left side, the Tur and following suit, the Shulchan Aruch, which is not on the page, say, V'kama pa'amim nitzdavinu ba be'esei. Say the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, if you look in the Pesukim, we're commanded in this mitzvah multiple times, so many times, and that's why you should be so careful about it. But the question, again, begs itself, if we're commanded so many times, why is it only counted as one mitzvah in the Moneh HaMitzvos, in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos? So, the Rambam, he wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos, he also wrote an introduction. And in this introduction to Sefer HaMitzvos, he wrote Sharashim, which are roots. What are the Sharashim? The Sharashim are 14 rules which help us understand how he arrived at his count. He counts for you 1, 2, 3 to 14 rules as to how he decided what should be a mitzvah, what shouldn't be a mitzvah. He starts by telling you derabbanans aren't mitzvahs, only deraisas are mitzvahs, and there's lav sabal mechlal essay, and there's all different rules. So in Shoresh Tes, the Rambam says the following comment. He says, oftentimes you'll find in the Torah that there's a mitzvah repeated. There's one mitzvah, a mitzvah of mezuzah, we'll say, even though the Rambam doesn't exactly give this example in that Shoresh. Let's say the mitzvah of mezuzah. So the mitzvah of mezuzah is written twice in the Torah, Parshas Ekev and Parshas Vaeschanan, Uchsavtam al mezuzos beisach lo vijarecha. Twice. How many mitzvahs is mezuzah in the Torah? One mitzvah. Why? Says the Rambam, when a mitzvah is repeated in the Torah, it's not repeated to tell you there's more than one mitzvah here to count. It's repeated in the Torah because it's telling you this is a really important mitzvah. The kefil halavin, or the kefil ha'esin in our case, the repetition of this mitzvah is to tell you that this is a really serious thing. This is a really intense, important mitzvah that you have to keep. Not that you should count it multiple times, rather lechazek hadavar, to make it stronger, to make it more worthy in our eyes to keep that mitzvah. That's why it's repeated. And so, yeah, the mitzvah of tzedakah is repeated many times in the Torah, but the Rambam quotes all of them for you, because not because he's telling you there's more than one mitzvah, but because he's telling you, look how important it is, over and over again, time and time again, we're commanded in this mitzvah of mitzvah tzedakah, in all of these psukim, and so you see how important it is, not so that we count it more than once. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvos Losa say Reish Lamed Beis. The Rambam there counts a lav, an iser, not to give tzedakah. We have a positive commandment to give tzedakah, and an iser, a lav, not to give tzedakah. Lo sa'ameitz, lo sikpots, we just read in the psukim, there are clearly lavs, clearly isurim. What's interesting is that there is another lav seemingly in source number one. If you look at the pasuk yud, that's like the sixth line or something like that, nason titein lo, give to the poor person, velo yera libavcha besitcha lo, lo yera libavcha belevavcha, don't let your heart be wicked, besitcha lo, when you give to him. So what does that mean? Seemingly, that's an iser. Seemingly, there's some sort of iser going on here. And if we were right in what we just quoted, so the Rambam never mentioned it. He left it out entirely. So it's interesting that we mentioned that, because the Ramban wrote a whole book about things the Rambam left out. In the back of that very same book, the Sefer HaMitzvos, there's a Sefer by the Ramban called Shichchas HaLavim, Shichchas HaEsin, different mitzvos that the Rambam should have counted, but didn't. If the Ramban were the Rambam, he would have counted these. So in the 17th mitzvah Yud Zayin, mitzvah Losa Zay Yud Zayin, mitzvah that the Rambam left out, and mitzvah Losa say here in source number 3, the Ramban points out this very pasuk, Lo Yeira Levavcha Besitcha Lo. Don't let your heart be wicked when you're giving the tzedakah. And the Ramban describes to us what this iser is. What is this lav? The Ramban says the lav is that when a person gives tzedakah, he shouldn't feel regret. He shouldn't feel like he doubts himself. He shouldn't feel like he did anything wrong by giving away the tzedakah, that he lost out in some way, that he gave away money and not going to ever get it back. He shouldn't feel that way. Lo yera levavcha, don't let your heart be wicked. Don't let yourself feel bad about what you've done. You've done a great mitzvah of mitzvah tzedakah. What should you feel? We'll come back to hopefully in just a few minutes. The Megillas Esther, which is a commentary, actually, on the bottom of the Sefer HaMitzvos. Megillas Esther says, the Rambam also agreed that there was this Isser. He knew that this Isser existed. He just thinks it's subsumed under the general mitzvah of tzedakah. That's why he didn't count it. But he too agrees that it exists. There are other Svarim that counted the mitzvahs in the Torah. The Smak, the Smag, we're familiar with, the Sefer Mitzvahs Agadol, Sefer Mitzvahs Akatan. These are all Rishonim who wrote different counts of the Torah's mitzvahs. So in the Smag and the Smak, they also deal with this pasuk of Lo Yera Levavcha. In the Smag, he says, Lo Yera Levavcha is an Isser, is a Lav, is a Los Esay, which means that you shouldn't give Be'enayim Ra'os, or whatever, Lefi'enayim Ra'os, something like that. And the Smak, when he quotes it, says something which probably explains what the Smag meant exactly. Source number 4 on the right side. Hanosein litzdaka le'ani b'sever panim ra'os, ibeid zechusa. If a person gives tzedakah with sever panim ra'os, not a nice countenance, he shows as he's giving the tzedakah, I don't really want to be doing this, you disgust me in some sort of way, I'm not interested in giving you this money, elamai, the Torah told me to, so what am I supposed to do? I'm giving you money, you're frowning as you give that tzedakah, so that is an isser, that is a losase min haTorah to give tzedakah in that manner. Interesting. Lo yera levavcha, don't give it away that it seems like you're upset to be giving to the ani. Okay. So once we think about it that way, so there's this isser of lo yera levavcha. You can't show a bad face while you're giving tzedakah. So what about the following? Let's say you do that. Let's say you're over on that isser. You give with a frowning face, you're not happy to give tzedakah, and you make that shown. So you were over on this isser. Good. Did you mekayim mitzvah tzedakah? Right? Meaning there are two different things. There's a losase, an isser, and there's a mitzvah's essay. There's a positive commandment of giving tzedakah. So I violated the isser. Good. That's on the side. Did I fulfill the mitzvah at least? Did I get one positive versus the one negative? So that's actually a little bit of a discussion. If you look in the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Tafayin Test, which is where he talks about tzedakah, in source number 4 on the left side, he defines the mitzvah for us. And in his Iker definition, his fundamental definition of what this mitzvah is, he says, La'asos tzedakah imatzarech eleha, to do tzedakah, to give charity to those who need, b'simcha uvetov levav. A person should give tzedakah happily and with a glad heart, with a good heart. That's how we should give them the tzedakah. That's how the mitzvah should be done. So what does that show us? So the Sefer HaChinuch did not just quote this as a detail in mitzvah tzedakah. There are, I think, some more sources on the bima if anyone's coming in. The Rambam did not just quote this, the Sefer HaChinuch, rather, did not just quote this as a detail, a prat, in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Rather, the Sefer HaChinuch included this in his fundamental definition of the mitzvah. The mitzvah of tzedakah is what? The mitzvah of tzedakah is to give b'simcha uvetov levav. And so it sounds like what's mashma from that Sefer HaChinuch is what? If a person doesn't do that, he didn't do the mitzvah. So on the one hand, we have an iser lav, lo yera levavcha, a person can't give with a frown on his face. On the other hand, the Torah says, and the mitzvah's essay, the positive commandment, the giving tzedakah commandment, the essay, that mitzvah, it's only mekuyam, you've only fulfilled it, if you give it with a happy countenance. If you give it with a sad countenance, if you're frowning as you do it, not only are you over on a mitzvah's lav, you're also not mekayim, the mitzvah's essay. And in fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, Perek Yud Halacha Dalet, sounds this way as well, as do many other people. What becomes difficult is as you go further in the Rambam, so you see the following list that he makes for you. In Matnos Aniyim, in that halacha, in that Perek, the Rambam in Perek Yud, Halacha Zayin, starts to count an interesting list. He says there are 8 levels of charity, 8 levels of the mitzvah of tzedakah, and he counts in descending order from the best way to give tzedakah to the next best way, all the way down to the worst way to give tzedakah. Fine. The very last thing he quotes in Halacha Yud Dalet, again in Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Dalet, the Rambam quotes, Litein lo be'etzev, to give to an ani be'etzev, ayin sadi beis, meaning to give to him with sadness, sadly, right? To be sad when you're giving to the ani. What it sounds like here is that this is the worst level of giving tzedakah. Fine, that the Rambam tells us, the 8th and worst level of the way to give tzedakah is to give it to him sadly. But what it also sounds like, and one of the commentaries in the Rambam points this out, is what? It's still the mitzvah, right? It's the worst mitzvah. You did it. No one's going to give you a certificate for this. But you still did the mitzvah in the worst possible way. The Mahari Kurkis, which is a commentary on the bottom of the Rambam, Rav Chaim Kanievsky points this out. It sounds like in this Rambam that you are mekayim the mitzvah. But it's weird because we just saw the Rambam says clearly that you don't. So the Shach in Yoredeya, in Hilchos Tzedakah, so that's in Siman Resh Mem Tes, in Sifkat and Tes, the Shach there and the Gra on spot say, different idea. You're not mekayim the mitzvah when you give with a frown on your face. That's for sure. That's not an argument. That's not up for grabs. We can't change that halach in the Rambam. Rather, they say there are 3 levels, one being a bit more ambiguous, there are 3 levels of how a person can give tzedakah. So one, a person can give tzedakah, b'sever panim yafos, b'simcha v'tuv levav, with the most amazing countenance, happily giving tzedakah to the poor person in front of him. That's one way. That's the best way. Fine. Then there's a third level, the worst way, which is to give with a frown on your face, to give with sadness, to show the ani, I don't want to be doing this right now, I don't want to give you the charity, what can I do? I have to, here's the tzedakah. That's the worst way. But there's a middle category, there's the parav category. A person can give tzedakah, feel regret, feel doubt, feel like he doesn't want to give up that money, but on his face, totally parav, totally neutral, not happy, not sad, nothing, totally neutral. So what about that case? Says the Shach and the Gra, that's what the Rambam's talking about in this halacha. The eighth level of charity, the worst level of the mitzvah of tzedakah, albeit a kiyum in mitzvah tzedakah, is to give to the ani, not happily at all, but without showing it. You show up higher of neutral face, but inside you feel rotten about this. Says the Rambam, you got the mitzvah, good, but don't give yourself a pat on the back. That's the worst way you could have done the mitzvah. That's the eighth level, and you are mekayim mitzvah, but in the worst way possible. The Rambam in Perek Yud of that, again, those halachos, halacha dalid, and it's quoted again by the Torah in Shulchan Aruch in Reish Mem Tes Gimel, which I think is on the page, yes, sort number 5. They tell us that the best way to give an ani tzedakah is an ani comes to your door, a poor person comes in, you invite him into the house, you sit him down, you give him a cup of coffee or whatever he might want, you listen to his story, you assuage his pains, you talk to him, you feel him out, you make him feel better. Okay, then you give him a couple dollars or however much money you're going to give him, but you make him feel good. You give him in a way with a smile, with a warm house, with a cup of tea, whatever it may be, but it involves all those things to become kind of the mitzvah tzedakah in the best way. And all of these people who say this, the Rambam, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, they're all coming off the Gemara in Baba Basra on Tesama Beis. The Gemara there says, I think Rabbi Yitzchak says, that if a person gives tzedakah, he gets 6 brachos from the Torah. 6 blessings. If a person gives tzedakah and he assuages the ani and treats him nicely and makes him feel better, then he doesn't get 6 brachos, he gets 11. And so this is where the poskim show us that that's the proper way to give tzedakah. There's a story which sort of shows this genuine thrill, this excitement, this enthusiasm for giving mitzvah tzedakah. It goes as follows. I think they say that in the Sefer of Pnei Menachem, they say that the Rebbe of Shmelka of Nicholsburg used to say this story. Okay. Shouldn't have said that name, it's just going to confuse everyone. Fine. There was a character in history called Kedushas Levi, right? Everyone's heard of the Berditcheva Rebbe, right? The Kedushas Levi. So the Berditcheva Rebbe, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, so one time an ani came to him and asked him for money. Rav Levi Yitzchak, however, did not have any money on him. So he looked around this house and he saw, oh, I have these 2 silver candlesticks that I used to light Shabbos candles. You can have those for tzedakah. Very expensive pieces of candlesticks, very expensive piece of silver. And the Kedushas Levi gives them to this ani as tzedakah. So the Hasidim who are there, they look and they see the ani walking away with these expensive candles and they say, but Rebbe, wait, don't you know those candles are worth 26 rubles? Which, first of all, sounds like it's very expensive. Second of all, it happens to be the gematria of Shem Hashem, Yud plus Hey plus Vav plus Hey, which they obviously throw in the Sefer. But more importantly for our story is that these are very expensive candles, 26 ruble kesef. So you can't give those away. So the Kedushas Levi says, you're right, you're right. And he starts running after the poor person. And he finally catches up and says, stop. And he says to the poor person, everyone thinks he's about to take his candles back. And the Kedushas Levi says to this ani, he says, you should know those candles are worth 26 silver ruble kesef. You should know that. Because if someone tries to buy them for you, don't get ripped off. Make sure you don't get anything less than 26 rubles. That's what the Kedushas Levi said. That excitement, that thrill, that enthusiasm, that simcha and tov levav, that savor upon him yafos to the extent where he was not only willing to give away everything, not only willing to give away the most expensive gift that he could give away, but also to feel good about it and to make the ani feel good about it, to make everyone feel good, besaver upon him yafos, that's a true kiyum of mitzvah tzedakah, that's a high level of the mitzvah of kiyum tzedakah, of a kiyum of mitzvah tzedakah. Just to review, so until now we've seen that there is a mitzvah tzedakah, obviously, and there are a couple of psukim that talk about this throughout the Torah, in Parshas Re'eh, in Parshas Behar. We spoke about a few of the psukim. The Rambam quotes it as both a positive commandment as a negative commandment. He doesn't quote it multiple times because he says in the Sharashim, in his rules for counting mitzvot, that you only count mitzvot once, even if they're repeated multiple times, because the repetition is just to show us how important that mitzvah is. Then we saw that there's also a lav that the Rambam seems to leave out, lo ye'ra levavcha besitcha lo, don't feel badly when you're giving the tzedakah. The Ramban understands that to mean don't regret, don't feel bad about having given the tzedakah. But the smag, the smack, others understand that this means that don't give it in a way, savor panim ra'os, don't give it in a way that's disgusting, that shows that you don't like the mitzvah of tzedakah. And will you be mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah if you do that? The answer is no. But there are 2 levels where you are mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah if you give it with a beautiful, nice, happy face. And if you give it with a power face, you're still Mekayim, but the Rambam told us that was the worst way to give tzedakah. Good, that's what we've seen until now. We mentioned, and we just repeated, this Ramban in Shichas Halavin, this Ramban who quotes this mitzvah in source number 3, he says you shouldn't feel regret, you shouldn't feel doubt, you shouldn't feel like you've lost out on money that you're never going to regain. So what should you feel? What should a person feel? What should he think? when he gives away his money. Says the Ramban, powerful words here in source number 3. Shelo yicha be'einenu betitnot stak be'einav. Sorry, that seems like a typo. Betitnot stak la'aniyim. V'lo nasa nosa aleihem be'ayin ra'a. V'nachsha v'sa mi'ot lanu. Don't think of it as a bad thing. Aval yiyah ze be'einenu. We should think of it as a schar. V'to'eles. V'tosefes b'mamonenu. We should think of it as something that's going to lead to regeneration of our money, regeneration of our funds. It's something that's going to yield endless dividends. It's something that's going to bring us much bracha, much hatzlacha. Shehu yisbarech. Yishalim lanu hakol bekama kiflaim. Hashem's going to pay us back with much, much multitudes of money, much more money from what we've given. And that's what the pasuk says. Nasan titein lo, v'lo yira levavcha besitcha lo. Why? Ki beglal hadavar hazeh, Hashem elokecha, b'chol ma'asecha, b'chol mishlach yadecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to help you in all of your endeavors, is going to make you rich, make you greater for having given staka. That's one pasuk that tells us this. If you look in source number 6, we quote that in the top right. But the phrase that we're probably more familiar with as a community is the phrase that shows up in the Gemara in Tainus and Daf Chesam Beis Anta Tesam Aleph. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan tells us it's in source number 6 on the left side on top. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says the pasuk says Aser to Aser, a person should separate a tenth of his stuff to give away. And what does the Gemara say? Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher, a play on words. A person should give away some of his money, a tenth of his money, Bishvil Shetis Asher, so that he should become an usher. He should become rich. He should gain money by giving it away. We see this in multiple other places. If you look also in source number 6, the pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Yutes says in the bottom right, Malva Hashem Chonein Dal Ugmulo Yishalem Lo. If a person gives money to a poor person, he will be repaid. But the Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Tes tells us that the Gemara understands that this pasuk means something amazing. Malve Hashem. If a person gives money to tzedakah, it's ki'ilu he was malve Hashem. It's ki'ilu he lent money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then says the pasuk in Mishlei, the gemulo yishalim lo. And the gemul, the reward for having done that, the repaid debt will come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to this person. If you lend money to an ani, if you give tzedakah, you will be repaid directly from Hashem, because giving tzedakah is as if you gave money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The last source in source number 6 on the left side, the pasuk also in Mishlei says, Yesh mifazer v'nosaf od. There are certain people who spread out their assets, their money, they spread it out, mifazer v'nosaf od, and yet it makes them more money. And the Medrash there quoted on the side says, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Imra Isa Adam Mefazer, Ma'osav Letztaka. If you see a person spreading out his money, giving away to Letztaka, Heve Yodea, Shenosav Lo Shu Mosef. He's not just giving away his money, it's going to add on to his money. Shenemar Yesh Mefazer Venosav Od. If a person gives away his money, that will itself lead to him getting more money. We didn't need this. We don't need the following, but it's nice to mention. Anyways, my wife told me that she was in a class, and the teacher quoted the following. There's a person named Arthur Brooks. Anyone hear of him? Okay. Arthur Brooks is like from what I can tell from the internet, he's like a conservative thinker who's also very into finances and budgeting on a governmental level. So he's written a few books. They're all pretty much same meat, different sauce. But in a book called Who Really Cares, which is a book all about charity, who's giving charity, who's not, there's a common misconception that the liberal left does give charity and the conservative right does not give charity. So Arthur Brooks tries to dispel this myth. And he quotes an interesting study. He says they did a study and they noticed that everyone who gave charity, when they factored out all the whatever things that mess up those things, what are those called? Outliers. Yeah, outliers, other things, whatever. So when they factored everything out, I'm here to give a shiur, not a lecture. So when they factored all that out, they realized that everyone who gives a dollar to tzedakah, to charity, they call it obviously, everyone who's a dollar in philanthropy, so they get back $4.35, something like that. They get back a ridiculous amount on every dollar. Now they go on to attribute that to some reason for a person becomes more reliable with his money once he gets tzedakah. They quote a bunch of reasons, but we know the real reason. The real reason is because the Torah says so. The Torah says that if you give away your money, you're going to get back not only $4.35, but much more. You're going to keep amassing more and more wealth as long as you keep providing for those lower than you. And this is where we come to our money tree. Anyone who paid attention to the title of this year, How to Plant a Money Tree, here's where we are. Planting your money tree. The Pasuk in Parshas Toldos says, and it's in this Midrash in source number 7 on the page over here, the Pasuk says, Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi, vayimtso bashana ahi, me'ash arm vayvircheo Hashem. Yitzchak planted, and after he planted, he found hundreds of she'arim, okay, discussion, vayivarcheu Hashem. Hashem had blessed him. So what exactly happened? Here says the Medrash, vayizra, he planted seeds, zriya, he planted trees, vayizra, yitzchak ba'aretz ahu, source number 7, she'asat staka gedola Imaniye oso makam. What does it mean that he planted? It means that he did stucco with the people who lived in that community. Shenemar, in Hosea it says, Ziru lachem tzedaka, plant for yourselves tzedakah. Plant, zriya, for yourselves charity. Me'asharim, because he gave that charity and he planted those seeds, he was rewarded with the me'asharim, with this big bracha. Says the Gemara in Bava Kama, says this Medrash, says a few places, the Bala Tanya in his Sefer Tanya, but in the back, he has letters, Igeres HaKodesh, Igeres HaTshuva. So in Igeres HaKodesh, in Perek Ches, he discusses this idea as well. We see it, maybe we'll discuss it another week. In many places, we see that the Lashon of Zriya, of planting, is used by Tzedakah. And the answer, the reason is because you are planting a money tree. This is the secret, this is the investment, this is the greatest way to become the next rich person, to give that money to plant those seeds with the poor people, and you are sure that you will find a way to come back and have more money after that. Good. That's in terms of the bracha of Aser B'Shvil Shetes Asher. This bracha, like we said, if you look in source number 8, comes from the Gemara in Tainis, on Daf Tes, Amud Av. The Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Yochanan saw a little kid, and he said to the little kid, tell me something you learned today in Cheder. Tell me what you learned. So the kid says, I learned the following pasuk, Aser to Aser, Aser B'Shvil Shetes Asher. Give money so that you'll become rich. And Rabbi Yochanan responds, oh yeah? How do you know that? How are you not going to get rich? What do you know about money, little kid? And the kid responds back, if you look in the bold, Amar Lei, the kid responds to Rabbi Yochanan, Zil Nasi, go try it, go test it, test the system, see if it works. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Mishari Lensiye la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are you allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are you allowed to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing this mitzvah and seeing if you're able to reward me, if you're going to reward me, are you allowed to do that? What do you mean? The Pasuk says, Lo Sanasu Es Hashem, you can't test HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not allowed to do such a thing, it's usher to test him. Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Raboshia, Chutz Mizo. The only exception to that rule, and there is a rule that you can't test the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the only exception to that rule is this mitzvah of mitzvah tzedakah. If you give tzedakah and you're testing Hashem to see if He will pay you back for it, that is okay. That's what this drasha says. And they quote a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Navi, in Malachi, Perek Gimel. Havi es kol ha-maiser al-besa otzer. Bring your tzedakah, bring your maiser. Says Hashem, uvichanuni na bezos. Bichanuni, test me. Just try me. Test me, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The psukim go on to say that if you test me and you try by giving tzedakah to the aniven, by providing for my poor people, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, test me on this and I will not fail you. I will repay you. I will reward you if you give the tzedakah that you're supposed to give. Now, why in general is it usher to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu? What's the reason for that? Anyone have any volunteer an answer? Okay, one would think one simple way is it's not the way to be Mekayim Mitzvah is to think I'm doing it for Hashem. To do it for any other reason would be ulterior motives. That seems to be against moral, against ethics. But the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tav Chav Dalet, where he discusses this idea of not testing Hashem, so he gives the answer that schar, reward, is not necessarily given to a person in this world. If a person does a lot of mitzvos, oftentimes we see it tzadik v'ralo. If a person does a lot of mitzvos, he's not guaranteed that he'll be repaid for those mitzvos in this world. Okay, sometimes yes, maybe, that's a debate. Sometimes no, obviously, that's more clear to us. But a person's not guaranteed. And so if a person would test a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, I'm doing the mitzvah of, I don't know. Now I obviously can't think of a mitzvah. Keeping Shabbos, wrapping tefillin, thank you, in the back. Or false start, I don't know. But either way, if I do the mitzvah of whatever, tefillin, and I say, I want to get rewarded for this in this world, and I'm testing you, I'm only doing tefillin if you promise to reward me. I'm only keeping Shabbos if you promise that I'm going to get rewarded for it. Says the Torah, Lo sinasas Hashem elkecha, don't test Hashem. Don't try him on that. Why? Because if you test him, it might turn out you're not going to get rewarded. You'll get rewarded in Olam HaEmes, that's obvious. But in this world, not necessarily. You're not promised that. You're not necessarily going to get rewarded. And so if we lived in a system where we could just test HaKadosh Baruch Hu on these things, we might oftentimes come out on the losing end. And because of that, says the Torah, don't try it. Don't test me. Do the mitzvot for no ulterior motives. And this way you won't come to any negative thoughts, won't come to doubt the system, won't come to doubt Torah mitzvot, Rachmana Letzlan. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. So why is tzedakah different? Tzedakah should be the exact same thing. Why could you ask Hashem to be tested for schar? So the Shach actually deals with this. The Shach in Hilchos Tzedakah, Simen Reish Mem Zayin. Simen Reish Mem Zayin, Sif Katan Gimel. Sorry. And he's quoting from the Prisha, he's quoting from the Maharshal. All these people say that the reason tzedakah is different is because it's guaranteed b'olam hazeh. The Pesukim tell us, aser b'shvil shetis asher, give tzedakah so that you'll become rich. It doesn't mean in olam haba. I mean, it might also mean that, but it means in this very world, you're promised by the Torah that you'll get rewarded. And so if you're given that promise, there's nothing inherently wrong with testing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we know it's going to come true. That's what the Shach answers. Are there any limits to this to this heter? You're not allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine. But you are allowed to test him in the realm of tzedakah. Are there any limits to that rule? Are there ways you're not allowed to test him in the halachas of tzedakah? So there are two that I could think of right now. I mean, that I thought of when I was preparing the shiur, obviously. I think we're going to turn to source number 9, which is on page number 2, which we just discussed. That's the shach we just discussed. The Ramah in Yoredeya, Simin Resh Mem Zayin, Sif Dalet, says two deos, two opinions. One opinion is that in Meiser and Staka, you're allowed to test the Kaddish Baruch Hu, you're allowed to say, I'm only giving this money because I want to get rich. Good. Says the Ramah in his second day, his second opinion, maybe that's only true about Meiser Ksafim, which is something we'll hopefully talk about in the coming weeks. There's a mitzvah Staka, there's also an idea of giving Meiser Ksafim, a tenth of the money that you make, you're supposed to give away to poor people. That's something that we do as Klal Yisrael. So maybe the Pasuk, maybe the Torah only meant to guarantee reward when you give Meiser. Why would we think that? So the Beis Yosef points out, obviously, the Pasuk says, Aser to Aser. And the Gemara says, Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher. What's it talking about? Aser, splitting your money, a tenth, taking away a tenth of your money and giving it to tzedakah. Any other form of tzedakah, maybe you're not allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu in that way. That's a big debate. It's not clear which way we hold. The Avas Chesed, which is a sefer written by the Chavetz Chaim, which I'm sure we'll talk about a lot more. This is in Chelek Beis in Avas Chesed, Perek Yud Ches, the Radvaz, in Matnos Aniyim, in Perek Zayin, in Halacha Yud. All of them discuss it. The Steich Hemet has a long discussion about this, the Achronim. But there's a question as to whether you're allowed to test the Kaddish Baruch Hu in all areas of Tzaka or only the Meiser area. Either way, the bracha applies. The bracha obviously applies even if you give regular tzedakah and not just meiser. It's just a question if you could also test HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all tzedakahs. What about testing for other things? So the Torah says don't test Hashem, but you could test him that you get rich from giving tzedakah. What about testing that I get a good score on my test or that I get a good raise at work? Oh, well, that's money, right? I get a good situation, or I have a good lunch today. Lunch is waiting for me when I get home, whatever it is. So you test the Kaddish Baruch Hu, I'm giving tzedakah, I'm going to ask that something random like that happens. So is that mutter? So it seems from the poskim that it's not mutter, but there's a problem from the Gemara Psachim. If you look in source number 10, the Gemara Psachim on Daf Chesam Abayis says, starts on Chesam Aleph, goes on to Chesam Abayis, says that if a person gives tzedakah to an ani or to a pushka or whatever it may be, and he says, I'm giving the tzedakah, I'm going to ask sheyichye b'ni, I'm going to ask that my son will live, he'll heal, someone will be healed. Or I'm going to ask that I'll get Olam Haba, whatever it may be, says the Gemara, Harezet Tzadik Gomer. He's a total tzadik, he's a perfect person, he didn't really do anything wrong by doing that. Tosos, right there on the page, they ask, what do you mean? The Mishnah in Avos in Perek Aleph says, Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, Al tiyu ke'avadim ha'misham shenes harav amanas l'kabel pras, don't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that you're expecting reward, rather be worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that you don't expect reward. Right? That's the way you're supposed to worship Hashem. So says Tosus, how could this be a tzaddik gomer? He gives tzedakah so that his son will live. Says Tosus, it obviously doesn't mean that he's giving tzedakah only if his son will heal. Only if he gets Olam Haba. No. The Gemara is talking about a case where a person says, I want to give tzedakah. I'm interested in doing this mitzvah. It's the right thing to do. Once I'm giving it, give me a little bracha, Hashem. Let my son live. Let my friend be healed. Let myself get Olam Haba, whatever the bracha is. So he says, bizchus, in the merit of this mitzvah, let me have a Yeshua, let me have a bracha. So that's not considered being mishamesh es harav, worshiping Hashem amanas l'kabel pras, hoping to get reward. That's just saying, on the side, I want a fringe benefit of getting this bracha. That's the simple answer to the question of, it's not really testing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To give tzedakah amanas that your son will live, amanas that someone will be healed, that's not testing him, that's not an iser. That's something that's saying, I want this chus, this amazing mitzvah, to stand for me and help me get this reward. Fine. So we've discussed that there's a mitzvah tzedakah, there's a couple of psukim about it. It's very serious, but it's only counted once because there's a couple of psukim about it, but the rule is that we don't count it more than once. We've discussed that there's a lav also, and we discussed there's a lav of lo yeira es levavcha, don't let your heart be wicked while giving tzedakah. We discussed what exactly that means, regretting the mitzvah tzedakah, and also it might mean not to give besever panim ra'os, not to give in a nasty way. Then we also discussed that that what you should be thinking when you're giving tzedakah is that you're going to get rewarded for this. There's going to be a big toelas, a big tosefes, a big bracha for having given tzedakah. You're not going to lose out. You're only going to gain. And we discussed that bracha, aser b'shvil shetis asher, malva Hashem chonein dal, yesh mefazer v'nosaf o, different psukim, different maimer chazal that show us that you get this bracha. And this is the exception to the rule that you could test Hashem on this. Uvechanuni na bezos, test me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hari kosi lachem bracha ad belidai, I will give you bracha, I will give you the reward. What's fascinating is not only is this some fringe benefit, some sideshow to the fact that you give tzedakah, that you're rewarded with money, but actually it might be the basis of the mitzvah of tzedakah. The hard mechayev, what obligates us in giving tzedakah, might come from this very reward. What in the world does that mean? So there's an interesting flow of psukim over here. If you look in source number 11, in Pasuk Yud Aleph and Parshas Re over here, in Perek Tes Vav, the Pasuk says, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikarev haaretz. There will never cease to be poverty in the world. There will always be poor people. Al Kain, because of that fact, Anochi mitzavcha lemor pasoach tiftach es yadcha. Because of that fact, I command you, give tzedakah. Okay, so let's all ghostwrite the Torah for a second. So there's going to be poor people always. You're never going to solve that problem. Just going to keep popping up. Poverty will never be gone. So therefore, you shouldn't give tzedakah. It's not worth it. Not going to solve anything. That makes sense, right? But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, there will always be poor people. You'll never solve this issue. So give tzedakah. It's backwards. Cyclical. Doesn't make any sense. It's not going anywhere. The system's not going to work itself out. So what is the flow of the psukim? What is going on over here? So Marina Rav Shechter, Shlita, Rav Herschel Shechter from YU. So he has a mahalach. He quotes it in a Sefer Bikvei Atzon, but I've heard it from him in Shir many, many times. He quotes it from the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, and the Rav had a maramakum in the Abarbanel on that Parsha and Re'eh, who said the following derech, the following understanding. The pasuk directly before what we just read says, Nason titein lo, give, ki biglal hadavar hazeh, yivrecha Hashem v'chulei. Give tzedakah, ki biglal, because of giving tzedakah, Hashem will bless you. What does the word biglal mean? Because of, since you did this, you will be rewarded. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, kufnun alef mem beis, biglal, galgal. Says biglal, the word biglal, sounds like the word galgal, which means wheel, right? A cycle, a wheel. Says the Gemara, if you're rich right now, you're lucky, but don't depend on that, because it might be you, might be your kid, might be your grandkid, might be 10 generations, might be 15 generations, but no family stays rich forever. What that cycle of poverty is a galgal hachozer ba'olam. It's a wheel of misfortune that constantly spins, is constantly cycling throughout our world system, and whoever is on top at this point will end up right down here at some point in history. It might not be you and it might not be your kids, but somewhere down the line, poverty hits everyone. Why did Hashem set up the world in that way? Why? The Kli Yakar makes this comment, and he points out the reason Hashem made the system this way is because it should never seem to anyone that they control everything. It should always be recognized by a person that even though they're rich at this point, and even though they've been rich for a year or 2 years, 10 years, 15 years, but they know that wheel is still turning. They know that wheel of misfortune could strike at any moment, and that way they'll always realize ki li kol ha'aretz. They'll always realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true powerful one, and they will never come to doubt that fact. That's what the Kli Yakar explains. So anyways, the Abarbanel tells us, this Gemara, ki biglal, that anias, poverty, is a galgal hachozer ba'olam. It's a wheel that keeps spinning, it will strike everyone. Says the Abarbanel, that's the reason we give tzedakah. Because you give tzedakah now, because it's a chov, it's a shibud, it's something you owe. Why do you owe it? You're not poor, you're rich, you don't owe any money. Says the Abarbanel, you owe it because you might not owe money right now, but a couple years down the line, maybe 15, maybe 20, maybe 100, maybe 1,000, maybe you'll never meet this person, but you will, your family will reach this point at the bottom of the circle. You will be involved in that galgal hachozer ba'olam. You will have that anias in your family. And so says the Torah from the very outset, give tzedakah at this point because you're going to be owed tzedakah at this point. And you give take the tzedakah at this point because you're going to owe it back at this point. Says the Torah, all the Jewish people, everyone in the world has a reciprocity. There's this reciprocal nature of the mitzvah tzedakah and all mitzvahs b'inan mechavero that we must help each other because we must help each other. A person needs to give tzedakah to the ani because at some point that very ani or his family or someone down the line is going to help him in the future. That, says the Abarbanel, says Rav Shechter, says the Rav, that is the mechayev of mitzvah tzedakah. This benefit, this schar, this reward, that if you give tzedakah, you'll get paid back, is not only a benefit, it's not only a fringe benefit, not only a reward, but it's also the obligation, the basis, the mechayev in mitzvah tzedakah, in the mitzvah of charity, that giving that tzedakah will come back to you at the end of the day. This answers a few other questions. We don't have time right now to deal with them, so we'll move on to the last section of the shir, which in the Mekoros, is on page 2, getting what we give. Okay, source number 14. So it's kind of unconventional source, but my chavrus pointed out to me today that I actually read this while I was sitting next to him in Jewish history class in YU 2 years ago. But during class, most classes were very exciting. No classes were really very exciting. And I used to do, Baruch Hashem, this generation, we have laptops. So I think a lot of people play games, so I used to read Aesop's Fables. Is that normal? Probably not. So I used to read Aesop's Fables. Okay, so one of the famous fables is about the miser, a person who hoards money. So it tells a story that a person received a lot of gold, a big sack of gold, and he wanted to keep it. He wanted to hold on to it. He was a miserable person who wanted to hoard all this money. So he dug a hole in his backyard, he buried the gold, and every day he would go out and look at the gold and just see that it's laying there. He never used it, just looked at it. Now, one of his workmen realized, hey, this guy keeps going to that hole in the back every day. What is going on over there? Okay, if they had a fob system, maybe he would have been better off, but okay, they didn't have that. So he kept going to the hole and checking it out, and one of the people noticed that he's doing that. So this person one day said, I'm going to dig that hole up. He digs it up, lo and behold, sack of gold. The person's rich, runs off with the money. The next day, this miser comes to his hole and he realizes his money was stolen. And he begins to cry and wail and scream and tear out his hair in frustration. And a neighbor who had seen all this happening says to him, you know, what are you crying about? He says, my gold is gone. And the neighbor says, you never had any gold. You had gold buried in the ground. It was underground. It was under the rocks, under the sand, under the dirt. You looked at it from above ground. You knew it was there. But when did you ever make any use of it? There's no difference now than there was before. Why don't you put a rock in there and come out every day and look at it the same exact way? That's what Aesop tells us, that a person who's a miser, he buries his gold, he takes his riches and he never uses them, so he's not even happy either. He's looking at all his money in his bank account, but it's not really giving him anything because he's not making any use of it. Nothing that lasts is coming out of it. And Chachma B'Goyim Tamin, Chazal tells us that we're supposed to believe when we hear wise things from the Goyim, but that notwithstanding, the Beis HaLevi told us a mashal that's similar to this as well. In Parshas Truma, the last source in the sheet, the Beis HaLevi tells us that the pasuk starts in Parshas Truma, V'yikli Truma, that you should take for me truma, v'yikhuli. So everyone asks, why does it say v'yikhuli? Why v'yikhu? You should take for yourself truma to me. Say v'titnuli, yitnuli. Give me truma. Give me the donation. Why take for yourself to me the donation? What's that mean? Says the Beis HaLevi, an amazing mashal. You have a fly locked in a box. Okay? But luckily that fly is locked in the box with a huge cube of sugar, a big block of sugar. So every couple of days, the fly gets hungry, and he takes the tiniest, tiniest, tiniest bite of the sugar. Then he starts buzzing around like crazy. A couple days go by. The sugar is the exact, to our eyes, the sugar is the exact same way as it always was. It never really gets much sugar out of the block. Says the Beis HaLevi, would anyone call that fly rich? Would anyone say he's a wealthy person, a wealthy fly? No, he's locked in a box with a block of sugar. Sure, that's true. But he can't make any use of it. It's just sitting there, just rotting away, and he's not getting anything out of it. Maybe a grain here, a grain there, but he's not getting anything out of that sugar. Says the Beis HaLevi, it's the same thing with our money. If we lock it in a bank account, we lock it in a box, we say goodbye to it, and we watch it sit there, especially with banks these days, you're not getting much interest, so we watch it sit there. So we're not rich. Who are we kidding? We're flies trapped in a box with a block of sugar. We're nothing. We're just where we started. We buried our gold in the ground. We're a bunch of hoarding people who don't have any money. But if we give what we've gotten, if we give to tzedakah, if we put that tzedakah into charitable causes, so that's v'yikhu li truma. If you give truma, if you give that donation, it's a lekicha. You've gained. You've taken. Giving away is really getting. If you think in your mind of the time when you ate, how many steaks have you eaten in your life? Probably 100, maybe thousands. Okay, thousands might be a bit much. 1,000? Okay, maybe you don't like steak. Whatever. Best food you can imagine. Some of them are juicy, delicious, amazing, perfectly cooked steaks. Try to conjure up that image. Imagine the taste. Can't, right? It's elusive. But now imagine a time where you shared something with someone else. Maybe it was a steak. Maybe it was something else. But you could feel that, right? It's a feeling that resonates. That sharing, that giving is something that lasts. It's something that's never leaving your feelings, that you feel like you gave away. You gave something, someone, something they deserve. The Chassam Sofer said, and with this we'll end, that the pasuk says, Azov Tazov Imo. When a person sees his friend struggling, so he should, Azov Tazov Imo, he should go help him. Azov Tazov, help him, Imo. What does Azov mean? Literally, Azov is from a lashon Aziva, a lashon of leaving. Says the Chassam Sofer, Rav Avraham Ganachovsky used to quote this Chassam Sofer, it was hard for me to find inside, but says the Chassam Sofer, Azov Tazov, leave what you have to someone else, give away to someone else, and Imo, that's what you really have left. Azov tazov, if you give away, emo, that's what you're going to feel. The yichu li truma, give it away so that you get. That giving is the immediate benefit of feeling like you've actually taken. And so we discussed that there's a major reward for mitzvah tzedakah. There's a major mitzvah tzedakah. It's written many times in the Torah. And we discussed that the reward for it is great riches, great amassing great wealth is, and we're promised that by the Torah, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're even allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that. But, and we've mentioned that's even the reason for the mitzvah tzedakah, the basis of the mechayev, the whole obligation of mitzvah tzedakah, is because down the line, we're going to be repaid. There's that reciprocity, that reciprocal nature of mitzvah tzedakah, and that's why we're chayev in it. But not only that, we're seeing from all these sources at the very end, there's also an inherent benefit right now. The second you give, you really get. The second you take from that sugar block, or the second you take from that gold that's buried in a ditch, and you give it away to someone else, you've made something that will last in your life. You've given to someone, to a cause that will make you feel great and will resonate with you for the rest of their life. It's important that we notice that there's great rewards to the mitzvah tzedakah, that it's a mitzvah, but we have to make sure to blend those two things, to do it because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it because it's the right thing to do, and also to feel good about it when we're rewarded directly and indirectly for that mitzvah. Thank you very much for joining tonight, and hopefully we'll continue next week. I don't know which topic, but continue in Hilchos Tzedakah, Emet Hashem.